Really jumped the gun on the theme tune that time, didn't I?
This is Pure Decking show number 390 for Thursday. What the fuck is today?
Bust.
April the 30th or May the 1st or, 1976. This is a show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and if you want me to work overnight on a scripting project because you can't manage a Gantt chart, don't have the planning done correctly, and really, really need that done, tomorrow, and you don't tell me till 4:30, but you don't have the balls to say, can you work on this overnight? And then don't be surprised when I don't do it, especially because if you don't directly ask, I can't bill the hours to your fucking project. So, yeah, fuck you. No, I'm not bitter. I'm Morps. Tonight, we have Mad Men. What is up, Mad Men?
I've got a new piece of software for work that keeps crashing, and I blame everyone, not me, because it wasn't my job to get it working right.
That's probably true. It probably wasn't your job to get it working right. That's the fun thing. It's not really technically my job to get most software working right either, yet I get blamed for a lot of it.
My productivity's shit, and I'm going to get blamed for that. I'll be like, you gave me a tool that doesn't work. How am I supposed to do my job? Oh, I'm not. That's
they're asking you to build a house, but all they gave you is one of those inflatable toy hammers.
But on the upside, I watched The Witcher again. I mean, I did training for some type of compliance stuff that is going to be due eventually. Yeah.
And are you, what complaint do you have about your office? I mean,
well, I don't have a complaint, but I'm going to leap off a cliff next month.
Okay.
That's going to be fun. Yeah.
Into water, or do you have a parachute?
Oh, no. I'm going head first. I'm not even looking.
Well, if you are going to take a long walk off a short pier, head first probably would be the way to go.
Well, they're turning off my telco here at the end of next month, so I've got to get on the dick of the NBN so I can have dropouts, and when the power goes out, my phone won't work anymore, and all sorts of fantastic fucking problems I'm going to have with these pieces of shit that they've built. Can't opt out.
God forbid you have choice.
Don't download the app, or you'll have to download the app. It's your choice.
Download it now or download it later. Your choice.
Exactly. It's your choice. You do it now or we'll force you to do it later. It's always the illusion of choice.
Sign off on this deployment or go speak with your manager. It's your choice.
I am enjoying a nice cold glass of Clorox, though. Keep away the woo flu.
Hey, a shiny colon is how you know you're boomer and tumor free.
Well, that's it, man. I'm shining the torch down my throat every night for 30 minutes, get that UV in there.
Oh, do you see where the company that actually invented the internal UV, it's actually meant to disinfect and kill certain viruses in your lungs?
No, I know.
Their
that,
promotional man. Video was removed from YouTube and Facebook because it's fake news.
Yeah,
actual know, it's medical real, company.
It's a real tech, medical tech, but fuck them, fake news.
I had to go to YouTube and be like, hey, assholes.
Like, he may have said something stupid, but it was actually based in reality. We're actually building what he's dreaming about.
Yeah. Hey, fuck was it Wojcicki or whatever the fuck her name is. Foxleave, there we go.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm sick of talking about that shit. On with the show.
God forbid anyone object to the Ministry of Truth. Speaking of Ministry of Truth, RU sent me this particular one, and I had somehow managed to miss it. Being, you know, face first into work all week this week. This is from the BBC. Pentagon releases UFO videos for the record. Flag this one. Thanks. Are you? And the other one you sent me. So appropriately credited in the show notes. I don't think anybody actually reads them, but, you know, hey, you're in there. The U.S. Department of Defense has released three declassified videos of unexplained aerial phenomena, which is just, that's a fun phrase right there. Unexplained aerial phenomena. That's awesome. The Pentagon said it wanted to clear up any misconceptions by the public on whether or not the footage had been circulating was real. The videos had already been leaked in 2007 and 2017. The two were published by the New York Times, while the third was leaked by an organization co-funded by former Blink-182 singer Tom DeLonge. Well, why not? You know, you got the money.
yeah.
After they were first leaked, some people claimed the video showed alien unidentified flying objects. What's in the video? According to the New York Times, a clip from 2004 was filmed by two Navy fighter pilots and shows a round object hovering above the water, about 100 miles, 160 kilometers, out into the Pacific Ocean. Two other videos, filmed in 2015, show objects moving through the air, one of which is spinning. And one, a pilot is heard saying, "Look at that thing, dude, it's rotating." In its statement, the Pentagon said, after a thorough review, the department has determined that the authorized release of these unclassified videos does not reveal any sensitive capabilities or systems and does not impinge on any subsequent investigations of military airspace incursions by unidentified aerial phenomena. Department of Defense is releasing the videos in order to clear up any misconceptions by the public as to whether or not the footage that has been circulating was real and whether or not there's more to the videos. The aerial phenomenon asserted in the videos remains characterized as unidentified. And I can absolutely respect what the Department of Defense and the Navy is doing here. They're saying, yep, something in the videos, we don't know what it is. I can respect that.
Well, so can I, man. But that just means they don't rule the skies.
Well, think not about entirely, that. At least.
Well, see, this is where I think it's a rouge. Complete fake. It is them. They just go, nah, we have no idea what it is. It's the U.S. Navy. What a great way to get them off your back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We have no clue what it is. We don't know. We don't have to tell you anything. Like, that's what makes me believe that those craft are ours or yours. I don't know, whoever's. But that's what I think's going on there. But you gotta be pissed if you're like an old Navy pilot that lost his career.
Oh, yeah.
Because you spoke up. You know.
I'd be like, yeah, I saw something. I don't know what it is.
I saw something. What are you saying there, Bob? You saw something? Yeah, I want to make an official report. Oh, you're gay. Section F. You know, later. I feel sorry for any of those guys. Because there were a lot of them that spoke out in the early 90s.
When Majestic was going on, people were speaking.
Yeah.
That's back in the 50s and 60s. I love that had an official, after they do their investigation, it had an official answer of unknown object. When the entire purpose of the investigation is to have an answer.
So what we're hearing is the budget went to hookers and blow.
Oh, and sometimes it was swamp gas and whatever the fuck else. But, yeah, unknown was still a classification of an object.
You know, whatever the usual bullshit is, training exercise, and then what it is, something like that.
Yeah. I think it's fascinating that they've come out and said, fuck, we don't know what it is, and no one picked it up and ran with the story. It's crazy. I mean, the news media are just so fucked in the head. If it's not Orange Man bad, they don't care.
There's so many other things to discuss this month. Like, nothing changing on the Corona front.
Yep, it's still a shitty beer.
Yeah. But, I just find it really weird. No one even in any circles started talking about it because it didn't really go anywhere. You know, like a small news piece in the BBC and moving right along.
Yeah, none of the major news covered news companies covered it. I heard about it from The Wire and The Blaze. Oh, yeah. And HuffPo actually mentioned it. It wasn't on the front page.
Well, when I first saw it on the BBC front page, I'm like, fuck it, they've been hacked. This is awesome. I'm like, this is a great fake story. And then I went around looking a bit more, and yeah, as you said, smaller agencies were all over it, and no one big had anything to say about it.
Makes you wonder if... because the thing is that none of this video was new, right? This is all stuff that had already leaked before, which is probably why nobody's really covering it. It's like, yeah, we've seen this.
It's the same with the Epstein thing, man. Biggest story in the fucking world. No one wants to know about it. It's absolutely insane. Same with the new FBI documents that came out yesterday. No one wants to know about it.
Oh, fuck. General What's-His-Name being screwed over?
Yeah. I mean, there's three massive stories this week, and no one wants to know about it because Wu Flu, Orange Man Bad, and Drink Chemicals Under Your Cupboard. You know? It's just nuts. So I don't understand. I mean, in the 80s, a story like Epstein or Weinstein would have been... A lot of Steins seem to be doing really weird shit. Have you noticed that?
Yep.
Anyway, they would have been huge stories. But not a peep in the current year.
Well, obviously they're not approved by the Ministry of Truth and therefore must be suppressed.
Yeah.
Sad part is that's totally believable nowadays.
Listen, I mean, 20 years ago, I thought transhumanism would have been a thing by now, but we've got trans. It's just not the right trans.
It's like, you know, we want to transhuman.
Yeah, not that.
Post-humans. Yeah, come on.
I'm down with the trans community. It's just the transhuman community, not the cutting shit off and not replacing it with robot parts. Like, dude, if you're a guy and you went, you know what? I'm lopping my fucking chode cock off and I'm putting a mechanical fucking taipan down there, you know? Big robot dick. Way to go, trans. Fucking very supportive of it. Hey, what's that, Sally? You're getting an extra breast put on? Welcome to the trans community. Okay? What's that, Bill? You just replaced your eyes because you weren't seeing, you know, 2020. Welcome to the trans club, buddy. Hey, if you ain't replacing it, all right.
Welcome now, you can't to the hydraulic breast panel.
Yeah, where the hydraulic chest the press channel becomes pornography. You know you've reached peak civilization. Actually, that's who was arguing about that. Did a story this week about peak human evolution. Black Pigeon Speaks.
Oh, I saw
very interesting video. Yeah, very interesting video.
I don't like that idea.
I don't know if he's correct, but it's interesting to chew around.
He might be correct in terms of our current civilization, but I don't think he's correct in terms of, you know, what humanity can achieve.
No, I don't think he is either. And I think we've just hit a stagnation point at this. But we had that 80s, 90s run with tech, and we've reached peak at the point we are right now until the next great evolution forward.
Yeah.
It was the same with medicine, man. Medicine didn't move at all for a long time, and then boom, we genome sequenced and medicine ran again, and now it's hit another wall. We'll get to a point. It's the same with physics and with space travel. You know, 80s and 90s, man, we were strapping rockets to our ass and going everywhere. Now it's like, fuck, who cares? But we'll get there again. Maybe not in our lifetime, but
we're gonna be on Mars in our lifetime, dude.
I'll take that bet, man.
I hope so.
It just depends which one of us is going to live longer.
Oh, no, I'm going to live a decade.
I can't see us getting on Mars in the next 20 years.
Funding it, and we were already planning a launch. Was supposed to leave 2 years ago, but it got defunded the first year of Obama's administration. We have the technology, we just haven't had the willpower. And we have someone that wants to do it now.
I hope we get to the point where we actually get the brain-computer interface, because that's when you start seeing Ghost in the Shell shit, and that'll be a good time.
I don't know if I want my brain hacked.
Yeah, neither do I, man. That's
You know what my day job is, so I'm sitting there going, yes, yes, job security? What?
I'm completely fine with the whole genome editing, the designer babies, let's make everybody super fucking geniuses, but I don't want a computer chip in my brain.
Oh, I don't want to design children, man. I just want to get rid of your crippling disabilities to start with. I don't want you to fuck with their heads or any of that part of it.
Enhanced, have given Wolverine type of immune systems. They attack viruses like mad.
Yeah.
Quadruple their intellect, all of that shit.
But are you going to give it to everyone?
Yeah. It's pretty cheap. And if you're doing gene line editing, you're giving it to the parents and the parents passed on to their children. It's a one-time cost for a generation.
And then you've got a generation that's suddenly an overpopulation within three generations because no one's dying anymore.
No one's dying of most diseases. We'll still have stupid people in car accidents.
But going by our timeline, nobody would be allowed to drive a car because it's too dangerous for their health and safety. So
I doubt that's going to happen. We've been upping speed limits in this country.
Yeah, but we've been upping speed limits, but taking more and more autonomy away from the driver.
Wait. I don't have an autonomous car.
Which you will.
Fill up speed limits.
Dude, the cash for clunkers was within our lifetime. We lost tens of thousands of fucking super cheap vehicles, entry level for 16 and 17-year-old kids who didn't need a loan. They had $500 to go buy a car. That time is over. They'll do it again. Everybody will have to have an automated car because humans are the overseers. That's going to be their new name from now on. I like that. They're not going to allow us to drive a car.
Good luck stopping us. That's all I'm gonna say.
There's always the backyard engineers too who will start building their own, right?
And look what happened to the 3D printing people that started going out on their own.
Some did all right.
But I mean, they very quickly did the corporation. You can't print that. You can't do that. And then fuck me, don't you even think about printing parts for a gun. We're just starting now to have the true battle of can you fix it yourself at home and do you truly own the product you just bought? I think we haven't even started that war yet.
No, that war has started. Right now there's a bunch of people arguing right to repair legislation. Which sounds insane. It's like, oh, no, you can't fix your own shit. We have to fix it for you. It's like,
yeah, not at my house, mate.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll fight you for it, too.
That's actually coming up with all the woohoo stuff with the respirators, where you've got hospitals saying, fuck it, we're fixing it ourselves, and using, 3D printed parts and manuals they're finding on the internet because the manufacturers aren't fixing the damn things, or they want lots of money to fix them. And it's like, it's like a broken little piece that you just glue back in or tighten back down. And yeah, there's all kinds of precautions and rules you have to follow if you're doing medical equipment. So I get the argument that, you have to have somebody who's qualified. But hospitals have technicians who are qualified. So, I mean,
But define qualified.
Engineering degree and trained up in how to do proper sanitization of medical equipment.
Still doesn't make you qualified.
Then what does?
Have you seen the level of educated people coming out of universities?
Well, with
qualification. Yeah, you know what I mean. I mean, if we're really going to get into the argument, let's burn the universities down to start with. Let's reorganize how we actually do train people.
We'll go back to and, apprenticeships is what you need to do.
Exactly. There. Apprenticeships, paid internships. No fucking unpaid internships.
Oh, that's fucking stupid.
I mean, I can't tell you how many people I've had to train at work in basics. It's like, you're a senior engineer, and I'm explaining to you how SSL works. What the fuck?
Well, that's what I mean. Like, if you really wanted to have the conversation about it all, it would start with what is qualified. Let's define qualifications. Is qualified experience at the job, or is it the certificate you got for $150,000 at your 4-year party school?
Qualified is the ability to open up the piece of electronics with a soldering iron and a screwdriver, and the understanding that if you fuck it up, it's on you.
Well, and then we got to get this personal responsibility. You know? But if I had it my way, we'd already have camps. There'd be a lot of people getting locked away. I'd be getting called Hitler.
Wow, listen to all that goose stepping down the...
Hey, I got my new national anthem. It's called Goose Steppin'.
Oh, for God's.
You're playing that at the end of the show,
I
by the way.
I am not.
Yes.
That is awful. I went back and listened to that the other day. It's like, oh, fuck, why did I make this?
It's because you were drinking.
Of course it's because I was... this cause of and solution to all the problems in my life. I am well aware. I'm pretty sure I have a career because I was drinking and said, hey, I'll try this. But...
Yeah, anyway, let's move on to the next story. But yeah, if you want to hear the song Goose Stepping, write to Care of Morphs.
Yeah, write to Care of Morphs and just drop that in the mailbox. It'll end well for you. It's like, what address? The internet.
Legitimate?
Sure, why not? This one's just dumb. It's from the Register. 9 million logs of Brits Road journeys spill into the internet from passwordless number plate cameras. Or the dashboard to them. Exclusive in a blunder described as astonishing and worrying. There's an understatement. Sheffield City Council's automatic number plate recognition system. Exposed to the internet, 8.6 million records of road journeys made by thousands of people, the Register can reveal. The ANPR, that's your automated number plate recognition, camera's system internal management dashboard could be accessed by simply entering its IP address into a web browser. No login details or authentication of any sort was needed to view and search the live system. Which logs where and when vehicles identified by their plate numbers travel through Sheffield's road network. And if anybody's wondering how you find things that have IP addresses and no domains, it's called Shodan or the tool Mascan. Just letting you know.
So would you say the man who installed all that equipment was qualified MOPS?
Obviously not.
I bet you he had all the certificates from the right schools.
I doubt that.
Just because you're qualified doesn't mean you can do the job correctly.
That's proving my point in previous conversation.
I mean, yeah, qualified's a loaded term anyways, but, what are you qualified to do? I don't know.
I wouldn't say Donald Trump's qualified to be a president, but he's doing it.
That's a fair point.
Like, he's 35 years of old age and... a native-born citizen. Those are the qualifications.
Yeah.
Are you going to be a good one? Yeah, we're still arguing whether or not George Washington was a good
one. Yeah. When cell phones back then, so I have no idea.
So I love the fact that Britain has this position in their government. Britain's Surveillance Camera Commissioner. I mean, for fuck's sake, you have a government position for surveillance cameras.
Have you seen how many CCTVs they have?
Yeah, they have sport games about people going around blacking them out or breaking them. I realize that, but I'm just... Britain's Surveillance Camera Commissioner Tony Porter described the security lapses both astonishing and worrying and demanded a full probe into the snafu. He He told us, as chair of the National ANPR Independent Advisory Group, I will be requesting a report into this incident. I will focus on the comprehensive national standards that exist and look towards any emerging compliance issues or failure thereof. That report will get promptly filed and ignored. Because that's what happens with reports like that, because I've written several of them. Not for a government. Well, kind of a government-ish entity. But anyways. Yeah, I had a VP tell me to stop putting so much detail in my reports because it looked bad when they were ignored and then shit happened. So.
Can you write crappier reports? You're narking us out before we fuck up.
It's kind of what it was. It was like, you know, you're making us look bad. Can you not do this? And it's like, so don't do my job? No, do your job, just, you know, in a way that we can blame you for not finding something when it goes wrong.
We just need you to do it less efficiently.
Yeah. So, Eugene Walker, Sheffield County's Council Executive Director of Resources, together with the Assistant Chief Constable David Hartley of South Yorkshire Police, told us, "We take joint responsibility for working to address this data breach. It is not an acceptable thing to have occurred. However, it is important to be very clear that, to the best of our knowledge, nobody came to any harm or suffered any..." Yeah, nothing bad happened to the best of our knowledge. Granted, the fact that there's no password on the thing means the access logging probably wasn't turned on either or shipped anywhere. So the best of your knowledge is probably an accurate statement.
Damn.
The Register learned of the unprotected dashboard from InfoSec expert and author Chris Kubeka, working with freelance writer Gerald Jessen, who stumbled across it using the search engine census.io. Oh, that's a new one to me. I haven't played with that one. She said, was the public ever told the system would be in place and were the risks reasonable? Was there an opportunity for public discourse or, like in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, were the plans in a planning office at an impossible undisclosed location? And they have a screenshot here, and it's a 3M portal. So they bought the system from 3M, and it supports a login. You can see it right there in the link. It's like, yep, there's the screenshot. You can definitely see it supporting a login. So, whoops. and now they're saying that you could potentially use it to attract people and where they went in the area that these cameras were connected to. But it's like, come on, people. If you're going to build an Orwellian style... Well, actually, you know, if you're going to build an Orwellian style police state, if you put all the cameras online and just opened them up and told the public where it is, you'd have people reporting shit left and right. You wouldn't have to pay cops to do it because people would be doing it for their own entertainment and putting together some awesome YouTube channels.
Give me something to do on a Friday night.
Weird shit I saw on the police cam.
Well, I mean, this is the alley cam all over again, right?
Yeah. Window of life.
So... anyways, you guys have anything else on that one?
Yeah.
Nah, but what a fuck up.
All right, well.
This census thing is a paid for.
Oh, yeah, I like Shodan because it's at least got a, I mean, it's got a pay for side, but it's all, you can at least use it for free. Or just, you know, spin up, go on GitHub, search for somebody else's Amazon keys, and then go run mass scan from a VM in their account. You'll get a great list, and you won't have to pay for anything. Then you probably shouldn't do that. But people still upload their Amazon keys on GitHub so damned often. It's great fun going through there and searching it. And the best way to do it is look for when somebody has removed the keys. Just go look at the previous versions and see what they were. Because that means that they, nice. You know, they knew it was exposed and they tried to do something about it. So yeah, you look for, you know, look for changes, find AWS keys, look for changes, you'll find the previous versions. And the last time I did that, which admittedly has been a few months, most of them still worked. So
nice.
And I'm sure that Starbucks got a phone call saying, "Why were you logging into our Amazon accounts?"
Nice.
I needed coffee.
You never do shit like that from your house. Just letting you know. Don't do it from your house. Don't do it from your office. I don't care if you're using a VPN. I don't care if you're using Tor. you know, there are lots of public Wi-Fi out there. Use one of those.
And if you are doing it and a fight breaks out between a man and a woman, don't leave your laptop unattended.
That only happens in libraries. And to people running the Silk Road.
Yeah, that was a hell of a read, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So, well, continuing the trend of people getting into shit, Nintendo hacked. About 160,000 accounts have personal information exposed. Video game company Nintendo has confirmed that 160,000 accounts were recently hacked and had personal information exposed, according to the company. Someone used a flaw associated with the Nintendo Network ID logins to gain access to the affected accounts. Nintendo said it is ending the ability to log in that way, and it will be notifying possibly affected accounts to change their passwords. No financial data was exposed in the hack, but Nintendo says a user's nickname, date of birth, country, region, and email addresses were potentially exposed. Not to mention anything else they could have done logging into your Nintendo account, so maybe they couldn't see your credit card information, but I bet they could have bought shit for you. Or, you know, bought gift cards and sent them. I don't know. I don't have a current Nintendo console.
Yeah,
neither do I. I thought about getting one, and then I go, look, they're all sold out everywhere. So it's like, oh, well, shit, never mind. So, like, I don't need one that
badly.
Oh, damn
it, my waifu simulator is gone. I mean, damn it, my waifu simulator is gone.
Madman, did you watch that Flash Gets animation I linked the other day? About
no,
Animal
I
Crossing
didn't.
And Tiger King? You should. It's dark and horrible.
I've got to track down. They have an Animal Crossing one where I think the bunny's starting the third ride or something like that.
Yeah, I've seen that one too. That one's funny. Of course, they've got all the Doom crossover memes, which is how I started seeing some of this shit. And it's like, okay, well, why not? So, let's see. The company did warn users who have the same password for their Nintendo account that their balances and registered credit card or PayPal accounts may be illegally used at the My Nintendo Store or Nintendo eShop. The credit card information itself was not exposed. The hacks first began near the beginning of April. Nintendo is encouraging users to set up two-step verification to further protect themselves. Once again, video games are getting better protection than some banks.
Well, video games
are important, man.
And they'll hold their value after the whole collapse and shit comes.
People start bartering for Wiis and PlayStations instead of, you know, water and toilet paper. Actually,
no, I bought a.
I could see that, actually, given... See, that was the thing. It's like, I was thinking, I wouldn't mind getting a Switch. There's a few games I'm looking at on there, trying out on there, and, you know, just thinking I might go pick one up on a whim. And so I go look, and of course, they're not in stock anywhere. So I was like, well, I wonder what the used market looks like. You go on eBay, $700 for a freaking Nintendo Switch. It's like, are you shitting me?
Hey, see, this is the hilarious part, is that what if the internet gets turned off next week? You know what I mean?
And you go, a lot of your money shit's useless.
Yeah, and you go, oh, it'll never happen. Well, you weren't locked inside 6 months ago, 6 weeks ago, were you? You know what I mean? She's like, oh, it'll never happen. They do have pandemic insurance for companies. Why didn't they have the insurance? Because it'll never happen.
Well, I did like that there were a few lawsuits going on where people did have the pandemic insurance, and the insurance agencies were like, no, it doesn't cover this. We didn't expect this to actually happen, so it doesn't cover this.
That's why you have insurance, just in case shit happens.
The insurance company said we didn't think this was going to happen. We were just offering the plan because.
Yeah. So. Fuck you. Anyway, I could rail on about insurance. I won't.
So this is why, by the way, you don't link your machines to Microsoft accounts or Google accounts or Apple accounts. This is why you maintain backups of things like your Steam game library, and you make sure that things can run offline occasionally. Because, okay, maybe the internet goes out tomorrow and it's not out forever, but it's out for a week. Shit happens.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, I know underwater cable won't get severed.
You don't? In fact, that's happened.
That's it.
Those things they don't even have to get severed. They just have to get nicked because that salt water will corrode the cables inside of those so quick it's not even funny.
So the whole idea will never happen. So, yeah, maybe hard copies of games and stuff like that are worth a bit more than you think. Especially if shit goes down.
Oh, my old consoles would be the only way I'd play anymore.
Yeah.
Collection that of ROMs
Xbox
and
would
Raspberry.
Become very valuable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, most of your modern consoles will quit working. Everyone who's linked all of their modern laptops and computers and tablets to online accounts would at least be crippled, if not quit working. If you've got games that require you to be online to play for the DRM, you're fucked there.
I hate it when single-player games require you to be online. Like, Borderlands 3 checks an online server every time I fucking log in. Like, no one's playing with me right now. It's my own damn game.
No, you're paying $60 just to access their game, and they can turn it off whenever they want. And that's the thing, is if it was presented that way for real, because that's what it is, if they presented it, the way it actually is like that, nobody'd buy it. Nobody'd bother. They'd be like, fuck that.
Anyway, we got off topic.
Yeah, well, let's just continue. The next one's from The Verge. And I think I've already posted the link, but whatever. Quibi's email verification process reportedly sent data to multiple ad firms. And if you don't know what Quibi is, count yourself lucky, because they were running a massive ad campaign trying to get their brand name used as like a bit of language. And it's like, it's not going to happen. Stop it. Leave us alone. But nope, those ads kept playing. So the process Quibi used to verify new users' email addresses sent them to multiple third-party advertising and analytics companies, including Google, Facebook, and Twitter, a new report has claimed. When a new user signed up for the streaming service, they received an email with a verification link. Clicking that link appended their address to the URL and sent it in plain text to multiple other companies. Quibi is not the only company whose practices have been called out in the report, which was put together by Zach Edwards of the digital strategy firm Victory Medium. JetBlue, Wish, and The Washington Post were also found to be leaking addresses. But Edwards said that the Quibi's actions were especially egregious because the service launched less than a month ago, as well as a strict new privacy after strict new privacy rules like Europe's GDPR or California's Consumer Privacy Act went into effect in New York Times notes. In a statement given to Variety, Quibi said that it fixed the issue that the report raised. The moment the issue on our webpage was revealed to our security engineering team, we fixed it immediately, the company said. Okay, you're not accidentally sending shit to other servers unless somebody built that intentionally. That wasn't a whoopsie doodle. That was, you built that. It's sort of like the guillotine in the backyard made out of an axe and an old fence post that's intended to remove the hand of whoever pulls on the cord. You built the thing on purpose. It has one...
Watching Dankula,
yes,
I see.
Yes, I was. I was on a marathon earlier while eating dinner, and it's just like, yep, that one was awesome. And then I watched the one about, anime Jesus Senpai, which was also hilarious.
Yeah.
Because it was a cult in Japan that was killing people and got an anime made about it. This is like, son of a bitch. So.
And I think I'm going to need to watch some stuff tomorrow.
What show? Count Dankula's Mad Lads. It's a great show. He actually did one on Sky King as well, which is where we get the
shut up, Wesley.
Not that one.
I'm just gonna nose down and call the night. Now I'm a white guy. Man, I play video games before. Man, I'm sorry about this. I hope this doesn't ruin your day.
I've been using those sound clips since it happened. And Dankula does Sky King, and I'm hearing the sound clips from decking on it. It's just like, yes.
What's amazing, this dude had no flight experience and got a plane that was not meant to do a loop-de-loop. Several loop-de-loops.
Well, they had people like, the plane can't physically do that. Well, he did it. And it turns out, nobody ever tried. Oh, it's like, well, no, of course it can't do that with that attitude. I mean, you know. You just need a suicidal asshole. You get a suicidal asshole who played video games? Oh, yeah. But, yeah, and of course, Dan Keel, get it right. He's sitting there trolling the guys on the tower the whole time.
I'll argue that he didn't want to commit suicide. I'm sort of thinking, dude just didn't think it through.
I'm thinking it may not have been suicide. It may have just been he didn't care at that point.
Well, no, I think he fucking, oh, I wonder if wonder if I can start a plane. Oh, I wonder if, oh, I've gotten this far. Oh, they won't let me take off. And I'm in the air.
Well, I like how this guy has the mentality of your average house cat.
I genuinely think he just didn't think it through.
I'm thinking if he didn't think it through, he wouldn't have gone for the tree landing. He would have gone for the water landing.
I don't think he put himself down, if you know, get my drift.
I think there may have been some missiles involved.
There may have been something. I can't say definitively. I don't think. I think he would have gone until he ran out of fuel.
Man, I'm sorry about this. I hope this doesn't ruin your day.
But
didn't it made my year? you're a fucking champion.
But back to the article here. The moment the issue on our webpage was revealed to our security engineering team, we fixed it immediately, the company said. Adding data protection is essential to Quibi, and the security of our user information is of the highest priority, because that's how they make their money. However, Edward said it's unlikely that Quibi was unaware of the issue. It's an extremely disrespectful decision to purposely leak all of new user emails to your advertising partners, and there's almost no way that numerous people at Quibi were not aware of this plan, but helped to architect this user data breach, Edward said. In 2020, no new technology organization should be launching that leaks all new user-confirmed emails to advertising analytics companies. Edward said he confirmed the email addresses were still being leaked as late as April 26th. So, kind of, if you signed up for Quibi, you kind of deserve what you get. But I think they're a TikTok competitor. But
I think he's using the word leaked wrong, I think it's the word.
Well, I mean, sold is probably the more accurate word. But
Yeah,
they knew exactly what they were doing.
Well, Quibi's arguing leaked. We believe sold. Yeah. And by we, I do mean I. I can't speak for.
No, I think you're right, so I'm agreeing with you. Let's see. Here's the full places Edward said Quibi was initially sending email addresses to in plain text. Google's doubleclick.net, Google's updated ads endpoint at Google, Google Tag Manager, Twitter ads endpoint, Snapchat ads endpoint, and the tr.snapchat.com subdomain, Google Cloud Infrastructure via cloudfunctions.net, civiccomputing.com, which redirects to civicuk.com and appears to be a company based in the UK, raises huge GDPR red flags, Facebook events and custom audiences for ads, Google Ads conversion for Pixel, Twitter Ads conversion for Pixel, Google Analytics, Facebook Analytics, Google Analytics, Twitter Analytics. Variety notes that Quibi's privacy policy discloses they may share personal information with third parties to let them provide services like personalized advertising, ad measurement, and verification. However, it does not specifically mention that email addresses can be collected and used for online tracking. Since its launch on April 7th, Quibi says over 2.7 million people have downloaded the app. The service is built around short-form video or quick bites that were designed to be watched on mobile devices. So yeah, it's a TikTok competitor. But that's the thing, man. Signing up for any new, especially social media platform where it's a free thing and it's brand new, you just got to assume shit like this is going on. If you're not paying for it, you're the product, right?
Exactly.
So,
I think the internet's lowering our attention span.
Yes.
I'm seeing all these short form. And I'm like, what happened to our programming?
Nobody wants to spend an hour watching their cell phone screen, and a lot of people aren't bothering with real computers anymore. They have a cell phone or a tablet, and if they're using a real computer, it's because they're at work. Or at most, they have a laptop. This idea of, like, my setup here where I've got 7 monitors pointed at me right now. Yeah, that kind of shit doesn't happen anymore. They, you know, people see that, they think you're a, well, I guess I am, but,
Okay, 6 monitors, they always thought you were a hacker. 2 is, I'm thinking common, and 3 is reasonable.
What about 4, madman?
You're a hacker. Unless you have some type of gaming rig set up.
Well, it's all about the gaming rig and looking like I'm sitting in a fucking space shuttle, all right? This is my fucking fantasy. It's my boyhood fantasy.
That's more normal, less hackerish. And...
But then you bring up Star Citizen and you are in a space shuttle, so I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Wait, does the VR count? How many screens does the VR headset count for? Because that one is at least one more, right?
The only thing that differs from my childhood view of what I've got set up in this room is a lot less rainbow lighting. Like, what is it with all this LED shit they're putting in machines now? Like, everything's got an LED in it.
They figured you got rid of the lava lamp, they have to make up for it somehow.
Well, I always assumed I would have more of those plasma orbs or the thing that was behind the Borg's head in their, you know, in the movie.
Oh.
Yeah. The only LED I can't fucking disable is in my RAM now.
Tesla coils. That would be another thing. I always thought that, you know, figured you'd had to have more Tesla coils and, you know, shit like
Jacob's
that,
right? Ladders, man.
Yes!
In the corner. That's what I've got in the corner.
You got Jacob's Ladder, and it explains why RU doesn't have a cat anymore.
Exactly. It went back in time. I'm telling you, it went back in time. Mittens totally went back in time.
That's what happened. And we're sticking to it.
My wife still believes that to this day.
That got kind of dark, didn't it? Let's move on. This next one's from interest.com. Surprising no one. Over 275 days since Equifax's data breach settlement, and no one has been paid.
What a surprise.
Have you felt someone owes you money? Last year, credit reporting agency Equifax was rocked by the massive data breach affecting most, 56% of Americans. The company agreed to one of the largest settlements of its kind, $700 million, to be dispersed, covering identity protection monitoring services and direct cash payments to help those whose data had been stolen. Many of you probably read some of these headlines in the summer of 2019, and many more still filled out the forms after promises of up to $125 per afflicted party. But there were several deadlines and additional hoops people had to jump through. But 275 days later, no one has been paid. It's not clear if they ever will be. It's been almost 3 times that time, 800 days, since the breach itself actually occurred in Q3 of 2017. According to Consumer Reports and the FTC, it's likely that any cash payments will end up being far less than the maximum of $125. A large number of claims for cash instead of credit monitoring means that only one thing. Each person who takes the money option will wind up only getting a small amount of money, nowhere near the $125 they could have gotten if there hadn't been such an enormous number of claims filed. As governments, businesses, and individuals scramble to save their economic futures in a post-woohoo world, 125 credit using American adults, or per credit using American adult, could go a long way towards paying for the weekly grocery or utility bills. It makes us wonder, should Equifax pay interest on these missed payments? Well, they'd charge you interest now, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
How might it affect their credit score? Equifax has placed arbitrary deadlines on their claim forms that have since elapsed, but they still allow you to file an extended claim on their website through 2024. That year should give you an idea of how long you'll likely be waiting for recompense. The total settlement was for $700 million and was by far the largest ever for a data breach, more network security issues are identified and personal, as well as workplace devices, prioritizing protection might seem obvious, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, surprising no one, Equifax hasn't actually paid anybody anything, because their plan was always to give out identity protection, But the identity protection they're giving out is their own damn service. That's how they were going to settle that most of that money, is it had nothing to do with cash. They were just going to be giving out free services for a bit.
I think we should liquidate their company.
Well, the problem is they have no competition. Well, they do,
they
but
have
I mean,
three
bullshit.
Others. But yeah, liquidate their company. And that will be an example for the other. Will that leave two?
Sometimes your only purpose in life is to be an example to others.
Yeah.
And if you know that's the case, then you should live it up and just do whatever the fuck you want. Because you know you're not asking the big questions anymore. You know the answers.
You liquidate the company and you send a couple of bigwigs to jail for a year or two.
Or you send most of the company to jail for a year or two and liquidate the bigwigs.
There you go.
I mean, if you're going for the whole fear factor, right?
Dude, and do it in front of the Security Exchange Commission. So they can all fucking watch.
Hey guys, we built this big... We got a couple of YouTubers to build these big blenders, and we're going to put these executives in.
We consulted with a man in England about how to remove body parts, and this is what he came up with.
It won't work. We hung two different feds, and it still came back. Creature from Gecko Island will never die. But I still think we should set an example of them just for the whole, if you fuck up, you should be punished.
Dude, I think if everything topples over in the next couple of months, I don't think there'll need to be any trials. They're going to drag him out in the street.
I have a feeling anybody with the ability to get out is going to get out before that actually happens. And it's like the conversation we were having the other day. It's not going to actually be the CTO or the CEO. It's going to be Deb from accounting.
It'll be Debbie from accounting in the car park with the baseball bats to the head. No, I know you're right. They'll do the wrong people. Then again, I'm just hoping there's a couple of people who are angry enough and smart enough to figure out who these people are at the top and then sort of... do their magic.
Yeah, I'm for drawing and quartering is too. That could work, rats. But what we really need to do is move back to manual underwriting for loans.
Yes.
Look at income to debt ratios. Now, I do know this means that no one's going to be pre-approved for a credit card, but you shouldn't
the
be
horror.
Pre-approved for a credit card. One, you should want the line of credit you're getting, so you should actively apply for it, and... we shouldn't just be willy-nilly handing out credit to idiots that can't pay.
My favorite is, you have been approved to apply for credit. And it's just like, fuck you. That's my favorite, is seeing the one that say, you have been approved to apply. It's like, no.
I haven't had one of those letters in probably 10 years.
Manual underwriting help, rats? Manual underwriting helps because it does away with no income, no asset loans. And it actually keeps your debt to income ratio down. To do a manual underwriting, you actually have to show that the person you're giving a loan to can afford to pay it back.
So, rats, a way to think about it is what Madman's talking about is, you know, right now you have your credit score, right? And Equifax is obviously one of the companies that track that. So a lot of companies, if you go to get a line of credit, whether it's a credit card or a small loan or something like a mortgage, they're not going to check your income. They're not going to check your, you know, how much debt you're holding. They're not going to go through your financial history. They're going to call up, you know, a couple of the credit agencies, get your scores and say, yeah, sorry, you're not allowed to get a loan, or yep, you can get a loan. And it's based purely on the score. They almost don't look at anything else. They might verify employment, but that's usually going to be about it.
That score just shows that you're paying the debt that you have.
That was one of the reasons that you had the whole subprime mortgage market, was that people could get loans that they weren't really qualified for. Because, like Madman said, they were paying their bills, but they couldn't afford to take on more debt. But they did anyways, because they could. And, whoops. So, Anyways, I don't want to get it too far into that or much more into that. How about that?
Yeah, let's dig up.
9to5mac.com. How to manage COVID-19 exposure notifications on the iPhone. Oh, this one's fun because in the latest beta of iOS, it looks like they're tracking you for, the communist lung herpes so they can report if you come into contact with anybody else who, might have it. Apple and Google have partnered on a secure and private coronavirus tracking or contact tracing implementation on iOS and Android. Follow along to find where the on-off toggle for the... I should be changing out the name for goofy ones on the list. I still have the list in the show notes. The toggle for Winnie the Flu contact tracing in iPhone and on iOS settings. Anonymous new yellow peril contact tracing via Bluetooth, not GPS location, will first become available with iPhone or iOS 13.5 on the iPhone. The software isn't available publicly yet, but Apple just released the beta software to developers. Go ahead.
This to work, wouldn't the phone need to know that I have the sweet and sour sickness?
Yeah. I don't know how that works. Contact tracing is called exposure notifications on iPhone. It's turned off on the system level by default, or it's turned on at the system level by default. However, keep in mind, you have to download an app from your local health authority, and that will require your explicit permission to use anonymous Bluetooth data for it to work when phase one of the rollout starts in May. Apple and Google have said that phase two of the contact tracing software will allow it to work without a third-party health authority app, but that won't happen until later this year. Apple and Google have done a great job highlighting how contact tracing is built on privacy and security. And then, of course, they got links onto Apple's website. But anyways, the problem here is that it's on by default, and it's not clear how much tracking it's doing of you. Like, is it generating a unique identifier? It works through the health application, right? So, and here's the actual note. The, quote, COVID-19 exposure notification, unquote, toggle is enabled by default in the beta of iOS 13.5. This does not actually collect any data, and app authorizations will be required once the feature ships. Apple and Google's exposure notification system will be completely opt-in. So, they've heard a lot of people. So, this edit was added later. Obviously, they've heard a lot of people very confused and concerned about this, and so they're saying it's all completely opt-in. So I'm guessing, but they're putting in it at the operating system level. So like, in Australia where they're saying you have to install the app now or install it later, well, it looks like they're going in and putting it in the operating system because I'm betting not enough people are installing this thing. I know I don't go downloading every new, follow you everywhere you go app just because the government tells me to install it. So, but anyways, on iOS 13.5, you go into privacy, then health, and then it'll have a thing called COVID-19 exposure, and you can turn it off. But that's the thing that, if you have legitimate health issues and you think this kind of contact tracing is going to help you, I don't have any problem with you using it. I don't have a problem with it being on the phone. I have a problem with it being on by default. I feel like the thing should ask. And they're saying it's going to ask for app permissions, but it's going to have one of these, like Microsoft's, Microsoft is bad about this on a Windows 10 box when you go in and turn off all the tracking. Oh, if you turn this off, shit isn't going to work right. And know it's going to be full of warnings like that. And on my current phone, I've got a bunch of this stuff turned off. And just anytime you go into an app that wants to use it, the first thing it does is it closes that app, goes into the settings, and prompts you, says, turn this on. Didn't even tell you why. It's just like, turn this on. No. If you don't turn this on, you can't use this app. Well, I guess I'm uninstalling that app then, aren't I? So, it's like, yeah, you have the toggle, but they're going to browbeat you into turning it on if you want to use much of anything. So, you know, maybe this is where the idea of getting the old burner phone that can't do anything except text messages and make phone calls is maybe not the worst idea. Because, yeah, they're just, I mean, they're going to browbeat you into turning all the tracking on. And what bothers me is, one, you know, it's on by default. I don't like that. But two, you don't really think these kind of features are going to go away once this pandemic is dealt with, right? They're just going to change the name. They'll take Woohoo Flu off and just you know, put health tracking or something like that on there.
Yep.
Contact health tracking or whatever. They'll come up with, they'll have their marketing people put some spin on it, and you'll have all these warnings about turning it off means you were, putting humanity at danger because you're not following CDC guidelines or I don't know what the fuck, right? Be like YouTube, where if you don't turn it on, your phone just doesn't work, kind of shit. Or that, or, you know,
I can learn to live without beeping to notify the police.
Dissident identified. But that's, like I said, my real problem, if somebody thinks they need to be using something like this, you know, like if you're in the high risk group for the sweet and sour sickness or whatever, and you want to use it, use it. You know, hell, that's your phone. If you don't mind it knowing where you're going, what you're doing. I mean, do I really care that my phone knows where I'm going? Not really, no. I find the targeted advertising obnoxious. We were talking about that before the show, about the amount of bullshit I get at work already just because of my job title, that getting a whole bunch of stuff constantly barraging me because, oh, you Googled for this once. You must want to see 20 ads for it. Yeah, fuck off. I just find it obnoxious, that's all. I think I've probably blocked 5 different phone numbers for a certain security company because they keep calling me trying to get business. It's like I've already told them they're on a blacklist because of how much they harass my people and me. They keep calling. So that's what I don't like, is the whole you don't get a choice in the matter thing. It's on by default, and you have to go turn it off. Like if you've set up Windows 10 on a laptop recently, you have to make sure it can't connect to the internet before you go through Windows setup, or it will make you link it to a Microsoft account. And it even has a little prompt in there, oh, you can go unlink this device from the Microsoft account later. It's like, no, that's so you can generate an identity so you know who has this laptop. So you have something you can tie it to. Fuck off. I was strategically rebooting my router so I could actually get past the setup on one of the machines I was working on without having to, you know, fill out a Microsoft account because I don't want to set one up. Like we were talking about, if the internet goes out and you're relying on a Microsoft account, you can't sign in. Now, I know Windows caches it, so if it's not online, it'll you know, save the password and let you get in. But I have machines that I legitimately don't turn on very often. You know, maybe once or twice a month, I kick the things on and do something with them. Admittedly, most of them are running Linux, but I do have one or two that are running Windows. And it would not be the first time that I've had a Windows machine basically commit murder, you know, commit suicide trying to run all these updates because I haven't turned the thing on in 6 months because I only use it every once in a while. I have machines that I only use for specific purposes. I have about 6, you know, what are those things? ThinkPad T420, I think, something like that. It's an older ThinkPad business line because you can get them cheap off eBay and they're decent. And they all have Linux on them now. But a couple of them had Windows on them, and I was only using them for specific projects, so they didn't get turned on that often. And Windows Update freaks the fuck out when it first connects to the internet if it hasn't been on for 6 months. Or, actually, the laptop I'm thinking of was dual boot, so it just hadn't been booted into Windows in 6 months. But, this whole opt-in shit, or, you know, automatically opted in, you have to, or opt out, yeah, I don't much care for that. It's like we were talking about before. What do you do if the internet's out for a long period of time? Well, most of your modern operating systems and everything that's dependent on an internet connection suddenly doesn't work. You know, what if you don't have access to the cell towers or Wi-Fi, what good's your cell phone? I've got some offline stuff installed on mine, so it would at least be moderately useful for playing a game or reading some books. Other than that, not much.
wonder how many people actually have a landline not turned on, but at least hooked up in their house. Because if the cell towers go down, you still have emergency calls, at least that way.
Well, I know where I am right now. The wiring is there. I've never actually hooked a phone. I don't have a landline. I don't have a landline phone.
But the wiring's there in most houses. I think it's just part of code.
Well, yeah, because you're right, and you're supposed to be able to plug a phone up to it and hit 911.
Yeah, and it's they can't turn off the 911 function on that. But I wonder how many people actually have a hard phone, even if they don't have the service, just for an emergency.
I think I threw the. I used to have a couple, and I think they got thrown away. It's like, I'm never going to use this again, and, you know, why keep it? I don't think I have anything that I could plug into any of those phone jacks and actually have it work. Maybe an old modem floating around here, because I know some modems were like, quote-unquote, voice modems, so you could, you know, put a headset on them and still use them. But, yeah, let me drag out the old compact presario so I can dial 911 because the service tower's down. Find a driver that works. Oh, fuck, no internet. That's a problem.
But when it comes to these collection apps, my biggest problem with them is I don't want another company that I'm not directly doing business with all my information for someone to pop. That's my big problem with the credit agencies. Rats earlier, if banks did manual underwriting, there just would be fewer places for your shit to get stolen. And if there were fewer companies saying, I have to download this app to track my shit, there'd be fewer places for my shit to get stolen.
A lot of identity.
Now, this, I don't know if they're asking for my name or anything, but if it is, how else are you going to do contact tracing? They're going to need to have some of your personal information. That's another place where my personal info is in the hands of someone I don't want to have it.
Well, it's going to have to generate some sort of a unique ID and assign it to your phone, right? And the idea that they're not going to know who that unique ID is because it's attached to your phone is pretty unlikely. And, you know, once all this is over, are they going to get rid of that ID and not use it for other things? I can't see it. Somebody's going to say, that's awfully useful. We should keep that. But, yeah, I don't know, man.
I'm thinking you just still need your actual name because the only way contact tracing is useful is it tells you who to quarantine.
Well, that or you have to go on the phone and say, yes, I have it.
You know what this would be good for? Fucking STDs. That's what I'd use it for next.
Actually, though, if you went back to manual underwriting, that's a whole class of identity theft crimes that would just disappear because you couldn't do it.
Oh, yeah. You wouldn't have to worry about the new mortgage fraud where people are stealing your houses just by doing a loan over the internet. That goes away.
You know, a bunch of the fraudulent account stuff goes away for sure. You'd still have to worry about somebody taking over your existing accounts, but that's.
Yeah, but the whole opening up a credit card in your name, that almost goes away. It gets dramatically less likely.
It gets a lot harder because somebody has to steal a lot more of your mail to do it. So
but yeah, it does away with a ton of financial crime we're dealing with right now.
So, anyways, last story. RU sent me this one earlier in the week, and wow. Blood.
I don't know if it's bullshit or not, but it's still a good story and it's reported.
It's probably bullshit, but it's still hilarious. Blood of allegedly recovered, let's pick a name here, the bamboo burden patients being offered on the dark web as a passive vaccine. Yeah, so if you've had the Shanghai shivers, apparently
welcome
people
to the world of AIDS.
The Great Sneeze Forward. This would be a way of treating the Great Sneeze Forward, and some actual hospitals are using it. They're taking plasma from volunteers that have already had the disease and giving it to people as treatment because it already contains antibodies. But I'm not going to take blood from the dark web because that's how you get the AIDS. That's exactly how you get the AIDS.
Online criminals are offering blood that allegedly belonged to the recovered coronavirus patients for sale on the dark web as a passive vaccine. What the fuck is a passive vaccine?
How much have you had to drink that you're ordering blood from the fucking darkness? Well, I've heard of some, like, drunken purchasing, but Jesus Christ.
I usually buy 3D printers, but, you know, some people buy blood online. I mean, there was a whole series of YouTube videos by different people ordering, quote-unquote, mystery boxes off of the dark web. And obviously it was usually put together by some kids who, like, put a couple of things in it and then tried to put creepy shit in it, like that's red ink in a bag. Oh, look, it's blood on a knife. No, it's not. That's red ink. Blood gets much darker than that very, very quickly. Oh, wait. How do I know that?
Black. Is it at least coming packed in dry ice in its own little styrofoam cooler? Because I'm going to have all kinds of questions about how this was shipped. Is it lifeblood?
Researchers from Australia's National University made the discovery while looking into how cyber criminals are exploiting the virus crisis. For a report released today by the Australia Institute in Criminology. The word, I think, is passive vaccination, where the blood plasma of a recovered COVID-19 patient is harvested for any... Okay, now we're going to start replacing it because I've done it in the quote, right? So, of a recovered patient is harvested for the antibodies that is then used to inject into somebody who might be at risk for the Wu-Tang Clan, for the Flu-Tang Clan. That one's not as good. That one's not as good. I should take that off the list. We're going to replace that with Flu Manchu, because that's the one above it, and that's funnier. So, might be at risk of Flu Manchu. Lead researcher Rod Broadhurst told AM, the offering was among hundreds of sweet and sour sicken-related products on sale on the dark web. The team uncovered in just one day of looking earlier this month, items of personal protective equipment thought to be stolen from factories were the most readily available for sale. You don't know that they're stolen from factories. I love that. Thought to be stolen from factories? No, it's probably just somebody raided their closet, found their painting supplies, and thought they'd make a mint on the dark web. Although, I guess if you have them in industrial supply, they might be stolen from someplace. Because I know that was, we know people who were working at healthcare facilities who said the nurses were stealing them.
They weren't stealing them. They were selling them on the dark web for profit.
It's like, no, you can keep taking them, but I want my cut.
I have complete access to the supply closet. They didn't give me a limit to how many masks I could take home a day. I guess they assumed I just needed one, but I actually need 4K.
What was the song about the guy who stole an entire Cadillac by working at the place?
Oh, yeah, Johnny Cash.
Yeah.
I forget the name of the song. But...
I'm just thinking that now. What followed was... That was followed by reputed cures for the disease, including anti-malaria drugs widely available in the legitimate market, and reputed animal trial vaccines for the virus. One cure was being offered for the price of just under $25,000. The idea that of any kind of black market is that there will be some people who may be prepared to be jumping ahead of the queue if you like, and taking a punt on a vaccine that's undergoing trial, Professor Broadhurst told AM. Of the 20 dark web sites investigated, just 3 accounted for around 90% of the coronavirus, of the new yellow peril products for sale. Others banned the listings of such items. Professor Broadhurst says many dark web operators are wary of high-risk activities that would bring them to the attention of law enforcement. I can't really blame them. The dark web refers to online marketplaces for illegal items. What? No! Come on!
Let them have their fantasy.
The dark web refers to online marketplaces for illegal items, such as drugs and stolen technology. Deep encryption methods are used to hide identities of sellers from police. The dark web is just a... It's not accessible to normal tools, and it's not indexed by search engines. Come on! It doesn't mean it's an illegal marketplace for stolen shit and drugs.
Let the normies have their fantasy.
They already do have their fantasy. It's called Blade Runner. Which looks cool. Don't misunderstand, but...
Hey, that's a feature I want.
I guess now it would be Kovacs, Altered Carbon. But
yeah, I could get down with that.
I never finished the first season.
You
never finished
the
first season of Altered Carbon?
I couldn't finish watching Mr. Robot either. It's just like, man, this shit's
I couldn't finish watching Mr. Robot. It turned retarded.
Yeah.
But Altered Carbon, I got into that. I suspended my disbelief for a while.
I watched some of it and then got doing something else. And
I thought you would have got into the AI aspect like I did. I like that there was just AI programs out there that had no fucking function anymore and were slowly going insane.
Well, that's the thing with AIs. I don't think it would slowly go insane. I think it'd be very quick.
Yeah, no, that's the bit that interests me. But anyway,
yeah, there were some fun concepts in that show. I do need to go back to it. But let's do this. Only one thing for you tonight in Digital Dojo, and this one's awesome. So this is meant for people doing red team assessments, but it's open source. Here you go. This is called Cursed Chrome. This is a Chrome extension implant, because I guess that's what we're calling agents or malware nowadays, is implant, that turns victim Chrome browsers into fully functional HTTP proxies, allowing you to browse sites as your victims. So what this is an extension you install into Chrome, right? This is a malicious extension. And it then connects back to your command and control server. And you can now browse the internet through your victim's Chrome browser as a proxy, as though you're the victim. So if they're signed into their Facebook account, you can click in and now you see their Facebook account, and Facebook sees it as coming from their web browser, not yours. You are literally bouncing off their session. So it's not like a normal proxy, like where I run a proxy server and you get all new sessions because it's coming through the proxy. And yeah, the remote server sees my IP address, but they might even see the exported for headers kind of shit, right? No, this is a malicious Chrome extension. And whatever they're signed into, because a lot of people tend to leave themselves signed into their Gmail, signed into their YouTube accounts, signed into their Facebook, signed into their banks, signed into their work accounts. You're now browsing as them through their sessions. This is a bad guy tool. It makes it very clear this is intended for testing, like pen testing companies doing testing, trying to show the kind of stuff they get access to. So, you know, you could absolutely, if, you know, you have a company that uses a web app for, say, loan origination, since we were talking about mortgages and credit earlier, you could absolutely bounce through their browser with this and see everything through that application as though you're that user. So that probably expose all kinds of fun information to you. And he's got information here on installing it, setting it up, you know, what it takes to run the network for it. And because the guy who wrote this isn't just an attacker, he's got a link to his other project, which is helping enterprises defend against this kind of shit. So you can actually set up policies in Active Directory to restrict what add-ons are allowed to be installed in Chrome. And we set these up at work a while back, and it took a minute. We had a lot of people quit using Chrome and start using Firefox because they accidentally blocked all the Adblock plugins. We solved that problem, and a lot of people went back to Chrome. But anyways, it was kind of funny. It's like, oh, yeah, I installed Firefox on my computer. How? Oh, I asked the help desk. We didn't tell the help desk that was okay. Oh, well, they didn't think it was a problem, so they just approved it. And then we discovered that the help desk was just letting people install shit whenever they wanted. It's like, the fuck? That problem got solved. But, yeah, anyways, so we had a lot of people who were not happy because we accidentally blocked all the Adblock plugins. Because when you start doing corporate controller Chrome extensions, you better list everything it's allowed to install. And if you miss things like uBlock and Adblock, Ghostery and shit like that, you're going to piss people off because suddenly they can't install the Adblock software. And from a pure security standpoint, I want them running the Adblock software because the Adblock software blocks a lot of malware. So, but this thing is fucking cool. So if you've got time to play with it, or if, you know, you're curious about how a bad guy might steal information from a victim, this is certainly one of the ways they might do it. So that's all I've got for tonight. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. You know, I don't think I've worked on the stream for a year, but I say that at the end of every show. So that's a lie. Listen to the stream, though. We work on it whenever I think about it. You know, of course, the Pure Decking every Thursday, the Galaxy 15 Radio, so, the subreddit, and in the IRC tonight, myself, Sardonyx, Sard's Bot, Cycros, DP View, Haratz, and Madman. Madman, closing thoughts.
Company's nicer than mine. I don't get to go to sites where there are ads.
Well, I mean, I'm running the web filter and a lot of the Chrome group policy objects, so got it. Note from Madman, be 30% more evil at work. My coworkers are going to love you. Are you? Closing thoughts.
I have no fucking clue, man. Like, I'm going nowhere. I woke up this morning, I thought it was Saturday, so that'll tell you how my fucking day's going, man. Because I said to the wife, what time do you want to do lunch? She said, what do you mean? It's Saturday, I'm cooking. She said, I'm going to work. It's Friday. You gotta stop drinking. Yeah, I'm gonna stop drinking. I don't know. Good luck staying inside, people.
I put in those for
stay some, safe, stay sensible.
I put in for some time off work, and I'm like, well, I don't know that I'll get to go anywhere, but at least I'll get a break. So, I mean.
Yeah. So. Well, summer's coming up for you guys, so hopefully you'll be out soon. We're getting our first taste of winter today. It's fucking freezing.
Well, that's the thing, but, right? Is they'll start lifting all the restrictions, then we'll have an immediate uptick in cases, and they'll just turn them right back on.
And that's why they used our schools as a petri dish. Be where the outbreaks start. Gross. See which places can open up. Yeah. But yeah, another fun weekend of video games. Stay inside and drink it too much.
Yeah, there you go. So I think I've read all the closing stuff.
Dude, play us out with the goose. Goose.
I don't have it loaded in the soundboard. I had no intention of playing it.
Next week, people, I promise, we are going out with the March of the Goose.
You're going to hound me about that, aren't
called
you?
More goose stepping. Dude, I'm taking this to number one.
I thought we called this thing, I thought we called this thing Blame Are You.
Thing is just going to knock Diggy Diggy Hole off as the greatest thing that this group's done since a long time. One individual.
Project.
Kids will be goose stepping.
Pretty sure this thing was exported as a MP3 and I got to convert it back to a wave. Oh no, I did have to convert it. I could play it. It's terrible.
It's fantastic.
For fuck's sake.
No, it's terrible, but it's funny if you know the joke.
Okay, well, we'll close out with that. Let me see if I can find the thing in stupid soundboard software. That's not it.
If anybody wants to make a clip for this, put it up on YouTube, feel free.
Wait, what? You didn't... Why are you saying feel free? You didn't write this shit. I'm embarrassed of it.
I'm not. I think it's great.
Where the fuck did it go? Am I in the wrong folder?
I don't know. I'm not currently looking through your Chrome.
I'm in the wrong folder. That's why. Wait a minute. I'm confused. Wait a minute. What Is that the wrong drive? I'm on the wrong damn drive. No wonder I can't find it. See, this is what happens when you guys want me doing shit without having set it up ahead of time.
Engine did earlier.
Yep, that's it. Stop. Stop. I don't want to play that yet. There. All right, I've got it on a pad. I can play it now.
Awesome.
I'm fucking stupid.
See what I do for you, audience? I bend Morphs over a barrel, and I treat him gently.
Harassed. It's like, hey, you get me when I'm been drinking too much and not thinking, hey, get a goose sound and make a track out of it. It's like, fuck.
Come on, it entertained you for 2 hours.
Good God, was I working on it that long? That's 2 hours. I'll never get back. All right.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Off. I threw up a little bit. Man, I'm sorry about this. I hope this doesn't ruin your day.
But shut up, Wesley.